and now evangelist David Shannon.
We'll open your Bibles to Acts, the ninth chapter. Acts, the ninth chapter. Fellowship. What do you think of when we mention the word fellowship? As we closed out our morning Bible class in the auditorium here, I asked for a very honest answer. What's the first thing that comes to your mind when we bring up the word fellowship? And I got that honest answer. Someone said food. And many times that is the very first thing that is thought of when we mention the word fellowship. When we talk about we're going to have a fellowship after our gospel meeting next Sunday, everyone knows, well, what that means is we're going to have a potluck. We're going to have a table after table after table after table of foods and desserts, and it's going to be a good time. It's going to be good food, good visitation. But what does the Bible literally mean when it speaks several times of fellowship? I think it's a very, very important subject for us to look at because of the benefits of fellowship within the church. As we look at Acts, the ninth chapter, begin with me, if you will, verse 26, we see a problem here with fellowship. A great problem, and you probably have never read this passage thinking about fellowship, but yet it is a problem with fellowship. When Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them, coming in and going out of Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Here's a gentleman who had obeyed the way. Many times in the Scriptures, the way Jesus taught is simply referred to as the way. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Paul heard about the way. He obeyed the way. He turned from the way he was living to capital T, capital W, the way of Jesus Christ. And now he walked toward the disciples, and because they did not know, he had turned to the way they ran. They fled. He wanted their fellowship. He wanted to have fellowship with the disciples, and I don't mean that he wanted to sit down and eat a meal after a gospel sermon. He wanted them to accept him into their fellowship. They would not at that time because of fear. A beautiful thing happens here. A very beautiful thing, and that is Barnabas sees what is happening. He knows about Paul obeying the way, and he turns to the Christians and he works between the Christians and Paul and says, listen, you ought to have heard the sermons he's preaching. He's obeying. Let's accept him. Let's fellowship him is what they are saying. And it works. From that point on, they have the fellowship with each other. Let us notice, if you will, turn to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter, we have a very important point to be made about the church. In Hebrews 12:25, speaking of Jesus, it says, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. So here it's very clear, you and I will be judged on who we obey. Here he says, if you obey Jesus, that is who you obey. Now, think back to Acts, the second chapter. The very end of the chapter, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Brethren, let's make a clear distinction in our minds this morning and who is in the church and who is fellowshipped. Now, I would like to say that you and I fellowship everyone that's in the church, and you and I do not fellowship anyone that's out of the church. But for us to have a proper study this morning of fellowship, we must understand that the Lord adds to the church, the Lord takes away from the church, and all you and I can do is fellowship or not fellowship. For example, Paul was still a Christian when those people were fleeing from him. When he entered into that city, having obeyed the way, he was Christ-like. He was a Christian. Those people fled him. They would not fellowship him, but he still was a Christian. God did not look down and say, "Paul, I really wish I could save you, but those Christians rejected you, so I'm going to have to reject you at this point." Now, why do I bring that point out? You and I need to be very careful to think. Before we decide on our own, we need to think, does God accept this life? If God accepts someone into the church, you and I are required to fellowship them. That would break down many of the barriers in the church. That would break down many of the walls that have been built up between races, between cliques, between groups. That would break down many of the walls between congregations in cities where that is a problem. Brethren, this morning I urge you to think about the topic of fellowship and to realize that if God accepts a soul as saved, you and I must accept that soul as being one we fellowship with. There's no choice, no alternatives. Now the beautiful thing for us to remember this morning is to think about Barnabas. We need Barnabases here at East Guest. Now, I'm not saying that because I think we have a lack of them. It's just something we always need. We need them today. Wednesday night, we'll need them again. Sunday morning, we'll need them again. We need those people that are going to look around, and when visitors come, they're going to work between the visitors and the congregation. Here, let me help you find a seat. Is there anything else can I do for you? Can I show your children where their classes are? Brethren, we need people that are going to reach out there and be that son of encouragement. And when they see visitors enter into our assemblies, they're going to welcome them and to help fulfill their needs so that when they come into worship, they can feel comfortable enough to worship. You know, I was reading a list the other day. It said, give your congregation 1 point for every yes answer. And it gave 30 or 40 questions to find out if the congregation is a friendly congregation. And they were things such as I just mentioned. But then the very last thing was, give your congregation 5 extra points if the guest is invited to lunch, whether it be at home or out to a restaurant. Brethren, those are things that would be very helpful. We're not going to find a law in God's Word where it says you must do it. But common sense tells us. Visitors want to feel welcome. They want to feel like they're a part of the worship assembly. It is our part to be encouragers, to work between whatever discomfort they have to try to welcome them. We also need Barnabases in our work of the church. You know, there are those that it's easy for them to get involved, and there are those where it's not so easy to get involved. There are those that have been members here at East Gaston for 40, maybe even 50 years, and there are those that have been members for only a few months or a few years. Brethren, we need some people that are going to be like Barnabas. They're going to work between those that are not as involved and say, what is your interest? And just in small talk, be listening. Say, hey, you're interested in that? I know somebody that really enjoys World Bible School. I know Brother Lewis. Let me introduce you to him. He really enjoys teaching people how to be a teacher. And he'll help you all the way through. We need people that are going to say, oh, so you would be interested in learning how to teach. You'd be interested in being a co-teacher. Let me introduce you to our elders or to another teacher. Talk with them. See what it's like to teach and see if that's something you would want to do. Brethren, we could go on and on with illustrations and examples. But I encourage you this morning to think, are you a Barnabas? Are you an encourager? Meaning that you do anything that is possible to encourage the work of the Lord, to encourage fellowship with each other. You see, perhaps at this point we ought to define fellowship. A meal can be a very good way of fellowship. But perhaps the best simple definition of fellowship is partnership in Christ. Participation. Joining together for a common purpose. Those are very important aspects of fellowship. You see, you and I are in fellowship even if we're not even in the same room. If we're on opposite sides of Gadsden, if we are both doing the work of the Lord, we are in fellowship with each other. We all, every one of us, need to be in fellowship with each other every day of every week. When we're together at services and when we went our separate ways. We even need to be in fellowship with you when you're on vacation. Because we know that even though you may be 1,000 miles away, you're still obeying the work and the Word of the Lord. Fellowship. It's very, very important. And it goes so far beyond simply being just a meal. Let's notice a few things that the Word says about fellowship. Turn back, if you will, to Acts the 2nd chapter. In Acts the 2nd chapter, notice what is said of these immediately after they obey the gospel. They've been baptized, and it says in verse 42, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Brethren, think of the importance of the things mentioned here. Especially two of these things, in my mind, they just really reach out and grab you. It says they continued in doctrine and in prayers. Brethren, those are two things that are very, very, very important in the Christian life. You see, if I come to you this morning and I tell you that we've decided that it's really a lot of hassle to have the Lord's Supper every day of the week, while there are those that have to come, or every first Sunday, and there are those that have to come down every week, they have to prepare it. Takes a lot of fruit of the vine. Takes a lot of effort. So we're just going to stop doing that. We're going to have it once a month. Why, boy, there would be many, hopefully all of you, say, hey, that just can't be. Why? That's not the doctrine of the New Testament. If I said we're going to stop praying, we're just going to have some singing, beautiful singing this morning. We're just going to have more singing. We're going to have sermon. We're not going to have prayers. Many of you say, listen, we need to pray. Pray without ceasing. The New Testament example is prayer. You see, we believe strongly in the sound doctrine here that's mentioned. We believe strongly in the prayer that's mentioned. Brethren, this morning, let's believe just as strong in fellowship. You see, you and I cannot be a part of the church, a part that stands strong for year after year after year, and never be in fellowship with each other. Fellowship in Christ. It is very, very important. As a matter of fact, I say, number one this morning, that fellowship is a basic part of the church. You can't have a church of Christ without fellowship. Also, when we turn over to 1 John, we see that where there is no one walking in the light, there's no fellowship. Where we are in the light, there is fellowship, and the blood continually cleanses us of our sins. So, brethren, the second thing we can easily see from the Scriptures this morning is that to be in fellowship, I must be walking in the light. If you will, turn over with me to 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. In 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, we see another very important part of fellowship. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Now, did you catch that? What fellowship, Paul asks here, with righteousness and unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And he continues to ask them, why would you have idols and try to serve God? Why would you do unrighteousness and try to have righteousness? And that's what we need to ask ourselves this morning. Do we realize not only that fellowship is a basic part of the church, fellowship is something that we can have only when we're walking in the light, and the implied opposite, which is spoken directly of here in 2 Corinthians, is that when we're in darkness, we cannot have that fellowship. Fellowship is so important, but there are things that's required to have it. It's not something that is just open to anyone. Perhaps if you want to turn back to Acts the 2nd chapter, if not, it's verses you're very familiar with. This is the best example that I could find of fellowship in the Bible. Acts 2, beginning verse 44, notice what is their fellowship. And all that believed were together. Now think of the definition we've already talked about in fellowship and listen to these words. All that believed were together and had all things common. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Another translation that perhaps might be more easy to understand instead of singleness of heart would say with one mind. We are to have the one mind of Christ. We are to be together, standing united on the doctrines of truth. You and I are to look after each other, to help each other. Here, these people sold their goods and gave to those that had need at that particular time. These few verses here say so much of what it is to have fellowship in the church. How important it is for us to realize about that fellowship. But this morning, as we realize what fellowship is, please let me point out just a few things. Fellowship is not you and I having the same thoughts. We're never going to always have the same thoughts. Fellowship is not you and I always having the same opinion. Now, we are to stand united on the doctrines of truth. But there is a great difference many times in people's opinion that they still can be united on the truth. Think back to Paul. He didn't want John Mark along. Think back, they had that difference between John and Mark. They broke their ways, didn't they? But did they break their fellowship? No. Brethren, there are times when you and I, you and someone else, the work you do in the church will be completely different. You see, there can't be 116 preachers here at East Gadsden. It just wouldn't work. Nobody would want to attend. No one wants to hear 116 sermons on one Sunday. So we can't all have the same work. There's going to be work that you do, and you may look around sometime, and in a moment of discouragement, you might say, you know, nobody else is doing the work I'm doing. But that doesn't mean no one else is working. That means we each have our work that each of us should carry out. But that does not mean because we do different works that we are not in fellowship with each other. Let us realize that fellowship is not always united beyond the truth and the doctrines. This morning, as we close, I would like for us to turn, if you will, to 1 John. In 1 John, the first chapter, there are a few verses that are so important. I've already referred to one of them. Look with me, if you will. Verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. Brethren, realize out of verse 6 there this morning, if there's anyone here that feels like that, or you know that you have sin in your life, but you have hidden that sin, you have not confronted it because it makes you feel less guilty for you to talk about what we are doing in the church. Instead of confessing the sin, asking for forgiveness, you just tried to ignore the sin. And you've tried to always talk about, well, look at the vacation Bible school we're having at East Gadsden. Look at the gospel meeting we have coming up. Here, I want to invite you to our gospel meeting. Brethren, we need to confront the sin. Why? Because you and I are not in the church if we have stepped out. Now, please notice, you may be fellowshipped because you and I cannot read each other's heart. You may be fellowshipped because we cannot read each other's heart, but you may not be in the church because God can read your heart. this morning, please believe these verses in 1 John. You can be outside of the church. It's very possible. He says, as long as you're out of the light, you're out of the church. When you step back into the light, you step back into the church, into the fellowship one with another, and the blood of Christ continually cleanses you of your sins. Is there anybody here this morning that has never stepped into the light? We want you to. We want you to be a member of the church, and we want to fellowship you as the Bible teaches us. Is there someone that has fallen away and you're not a member of the church? You and your Lord know that. This morning, let's make sure we all leave here two ways, in the church and in fellowship. If we can help you in any way, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?